This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And thank you to Anthony for the 9 o'clock news, and he'll be back just ahead of our big sports program at just after the 10 o'clock news. And welcome to Rob Druitt, and thank you for last week for a magnificent program. I listened online.
Good man. Yeah, yeah. We missed you.
Yeah, did
but
you?
But we carried on.
Yeah, no, it was good, and Darren did a fantastic job.
Yes, he is. He's very, very good.
And our very special guest in the studio today is the one and only Craig Gemmell. How are you, mate?
I'm well, Harvey.
Not thanks, standing mate. Behind thanks a home right now.
No, it's been too wet, mate. I had the week
yeah,
off.
I know. You would have been sinking in the grass at the back, wouldn't you?
Took the gumboots out.
Exactly.
Gosh, good time for established homes to see if there's any leaks, isn't it?
It is, actually. That's right. You get out and have a look at your home opens today, and you'll be able to tell if there's any roof issues very quickly.
Yeah, it was crazy weather, wasn't it? And then the East Coast is boiling. We talk about a two-speed economy.
It's the same as the markets,
yeah,
actually,
it's
isn't
like
it?
The weather, isn't it? East Coast versus West.
Raining buyers and property market over there, and but it's dry here, other way around. When it comes to the property market, not the weather.
Now, obviously been a little bit out of touch, not being around for the past week, but interest rates on hold?
Yeah, no surprise in that. That was probably the most predictable thing during the week.
Yeah.
What Donald was going to say was unpredictable, but certainly what the Reserve Bank was going to do was quite predictable. Yeah, we really don't have any room to move. There's talk that we need to have the rates down a little bit, but the market is still kicking along on the East Coast, and they don't want to see that continue for too much longer or overheat much more than it has. Sydney's now moving in. It's more than 2 years of a solid market. Still a lot of growth through there, a lot of demand, and Melbourne market's still very strong. So, yeah, as we just mentioned a minute ago, it's quite interesting how we have this sort of counter-cyclical market across the country where our market is at the bottom ebb of it, and you'd say the East Coast is at the top end of their market.
Yeah, and we're just talking about the election being in full swing, Harvey. HIA launched their state election policy imperatives. So they've covered off quite a few good things there, and they're always with the HIA looking forward to the future. What have we got to do now for
A lot of planning, growth? Very important, isn't it?
Apprentices, because we've had that migration and we've lost a lot of good tradespeople. Obviously, they follow where it's booming, so they've
gone
over east.
Yes.
And, will they come back? We don't know, but we've got to start really focusing on the future as well and pushing our apprentices, not only the young kids, but also mature age apprentices. So it was a really good launch of that policy.
You need to, because the market will change. It never seems worse at the bottom, but the reality is it will turn around slowly but surely, and then next thing you know we'll have a shortage of land, shortage of trades.
I know.
And we'll be in the same cycle again, so need to think and plan for that.
All right, well, if you'd like to ask Rob or Craig a question, obviously, on any real estate topic, any property topic, as far as Craig's concerned, of course, he's a specialist in the construction area of this wonderful industry that we know and love. So if you'd like to ask him a question about that or anything else, 9221882. If you'd like to send a text, it's 19999677, and the email, just pop it into my inbox, is harvey@6pr.com.au. Already we've got a call. Patrick of Kingsley. G'day, Patrick.
Good morning, Harvey, Rob and Craig.
Morning, Patrick.
Topical, you were just talking about the weather on the weekend. My son's got an apartment in Currumbine.
Right.
And he had about 100 mil of water come through it over.
Oh, dear.
So it looked like a swimming pool, not an apartment.
Dear. I hope he didn't have timber floors.
No, concrete floors, but unfortunately carpet on top of that concrete.
Yes.
And he has a tenant, and of course the tenant's been relocated by the property management group over the weekend while they sort all this out.
Yes, they'd have to, because it wouldn't be habitable. Terrible.
No, and of course the carpet, skirting boards, things like that. You don't know whether you're looking at a week, 2 weeks, depending on the work that's in the area that other people are chasing to get done as well.
That's right.
Now, the problem is the property manager, and they've been really good, but the lady has said to him, I think that you may be responsible for their ongoing accommodation until they come back into the apartment. Now, given he's gone and Googled everything to have a look if he's under the Residential Tenancy Act, looking at natural disasters, looking at obligations as a landlord, he can't sort of find anything to point the finger back at him, and whilst he's happy with the tenants he's got and stuff, not knowing how long this could go on for, he's a little bit concerned if the cost is his, given that it's an act of God that this 100 water comes into his apartment, and he's a little bit concerned if the cost falls back on him. And I said to him, don't worry, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock Saturday morning.
Ring and find out the answer.
Ring Rob.
That's a good question. Look, you certainly can't be charging the rent, I know that much, because the house is not habitable. Look, it's a good question. I'll need to do a little bit of research myself on that, because I haven't had that situation personally.
A tricky one.
Yes, I'll find out for you exactly what you do in that situation. It's, look, yeah, there is always a bit of negotiation in these situations. Like you said, it's an act of God. It's a, it is a, an event which is inconveniencing everyone. So, you know, and it falls back on the landlord to provide the property in a condition that's habitable, which is not. So then it's a matter of an emergency repair to undertake that as quickly as possible, which is what is being done. And, yeah, it may very well be that there has to be some contribution towards the inconvenience for the tenant, but it's certainly not the fault of the landlord, of course, that this has happened. The building, how old is the building?
Only two and a half years. And he's talking to them. Three of the apartments flooded.
Okay.
And he's saying
there's obviously some issue there as well.
Some
with the
obligation
building.
On the body corporate insurance, because it's like a fault with the, within the building setup that this water could come this way and flood three of the apartments. So it's not just
his. Yes, something in the building. Silly so he really question, needs to Patrick, look at his insurance policy.
Where did the water come from? Silly question, I know, from the rain. But it was did the water come in through the roof or did it come in from the ground?
Under the, it pooled up around the doors and came in like underneath the doors. At one end, the property slopes a little bit.
Yeah,
so right.
Area of 40, the floor plan is like 42 apartments, 21 ground, 21 upstairs. The water sort of has then gathered at one end, and of course it happens to be the end where he and the other two apartments have their doors, so more or less around and under the door.
That's the thing, even Rob, even in the building industry, you know, the Shires talk about a 1 in 100 year flood or whatever, but when you think about it, yesterday, that volume of water that came down in such a short period of time, all the drains were flooding, everything, you know, it's really hard to plan for that.
Very much so, and I think you need to look at your at the your son's insurance policy. What would cover?
Body, he has like landlord insurance, and of course.
Okay, well, landlord insurance, yeah, needs to look at that policy because that may very well cover for this.
It'll pay the rent, but he's more now concerned
about the compensation for the tenant. I'll find out. Back to
You've got my number, or you'll just put that on air when you've
I'll
got
put it on air and we'll also get a number from producer Andrew so we can talk to you about it, give you some proper advice on that.
I will sit and listen. I knew it was a tricky one, but I thought you guys were a good starting point.
Indeed, we are. Patrick, don't hang up, mate. I'm going to pop you back to Andrew and he'll take all your details for Rob to follow up, okay?
No worries. And I appreciate your help, guys.
You're more than welcome. Okay, let's go to Rolly Stone. G'day, Steve.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, we're good. Good.
Dry. Thankfully.
Hey, mine's just a quick one. I've built with the predominant builder, but they asked us to, when it comes to PC, so there's the two inspections, and we went to the first one, and it wasn't ready. And anyway, we were assured by the supervisor everything would be in place for the second one. That didn't happen. We'd had to move in because the in our contract, once it was practically complete, we had to pay our final monies. I'm just trying to figure out with the closure of the defects, because we're now 6 months into it, and whilst they mightn't be substantial, they're just lingering, and I keep getting the runaround.
Yeah, well, they have to fix them, Steve, and everyone, obviously, you would have used a lump sum building contract. We use the HIA one, there's MBA one, some building companies use their own, but we've all got to follow the guidelines that's set out by the Home Building Contracts Act of 1991. So what you've got to have a look at is that home is practically completed, and the reason why you do that first inspection is for you, the owner, to write everything down. So that becomes a legally binding document, and then the builder must complete those works. As long as you can move, if you can still move in and there's some little works outstanding that are not going to affect your enjoyment of the home and it's fit for purpose and everything else like that, they should come back and fix them for you.
Yeah, well, see, I've been given a guarantee on, like, it's progressed up the ladder, to be honest. I've started with the supervisor, ended up with the construction manager, and now I've ended up with the general manager.
It's gone right up the line,
Yep. And they've all given me